The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. Each week, we introduce you to something new, something that'll make you think, something that might change your life. Here's this week's author interview on the Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI.
Joining us this morning for the Wednesday Bookmark is Holly Girth. Holly is a Wall Street Journal best-selling author, life coach, and licensed counselor. She co-founded the groundbreaking blogging community Encourage and co-hosts the popular podcast More Than Small Talk. Holly imagines a world where we all become who we're created to be, use our strengths to serve, and grow for a lifetime. We're going to talk this morning about her book, The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. Holly, so appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Let's begin by talking about what it means to be an introvert. You say it's how we respond to external stimulation that makes us introvert or extrovert. Explain what you mean by that.
Yes, there's a lot of myths that it's about how much we like small talk, things like that, but it's actually a particular way our brains and nervous systems are wired. About half the population is made up of introverts, half extroverts. And so we differ in the primary neurotransmitters that make us feel best, the side of the nervous system we rely on, and even the primary brain pathway that we use for processing.
Talk about the differences between isolation and solitude and how this plays into the life of an introvert.
Isolation is often confused for solitude, but isolation is living disconnected from God, others, and our true selves. We can feel isolated in a crowd, where solitude is time apart chosen for a specific purpose like restoration, creative work, connecting with nature, different things that we intentionally choose that actually over time allow us to live more connected lives. In solitude, while introverts may need more, is essential for both introverts and extroverts over a lifetime.
This is one of those books. There's so many things I wanted to ask you, but I hardly even knew where to begin. But another thing you talk about is how introverts get tongue-tied in social situations sometimes because of their complex brain pathways. But you make the point in a chapter called Meaningful Connection that social awkwardness is at least in some sense a good thing. How can that be?
Yes, researchers studied and found that people who come across as a little bit awkward are actually also seen as more trustworthy. Mm-hmm. We look at them as they are a fellow human, they're relatable, we can connect with them. And so the things that we may fear in social situations, like we stutter on a word, I did that just a second ago, or we sweat or blush or take a moment to collect our thoughts, we actually don't need to be afraid of that because it can be endearing and actually build trust in relationships.
In your discussion on confidence, you say this. I want to read you just this quote and get you to comment on it. Researchers have also found that confidence isn't an emotion. It's a complex pattern of brain activity. Increasing our confidence isn't about changing how we feel. It's about changing what we believe. What sorts of beliefs, Holly, do we need to change to become more confident?
I believe that we all have signature lies. It really goes back to Eden when the enemy said to Eve, "Did God really say?" And I think we all still struggle with that today. So pausing and saying, what is my signature lie? When I'm feeling insecure, what am I saying to myself? And then what is the truth instead? So I'm not enough would be a signature lie. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me would be a signature truth. And so really going to that level of what are the lies, what's the truth, and then repeating those because it involves creating new neural pathways in our brain. So when we replace lies with truth, it doesn't feel true at first, and that's normal and okay. It's about repetition. They say it takes about 3 months for us to get a new neural pathway fully in place.
We're just breezing through some of this, but there's so much more on each of these points in the book. At least in Western culture, we tend to associate happiness with extrovert qualities, which you might call extrovert qualities, being excited and enthusiastic and that sort of thing. But happiness might look entirely different for the introvert, right? Talk a little bit more about the differences there.
Yes, because extroverts feel best through a neurotransmitter called dopamine that revs us up, prepares us for action, is released when a lot's coming at us from the outside, and it feels sort of like caffeine. For extroverts, and happiness tends to feel like enthusiasm and excitement, which is the cultural stereotype as well of what it means to be happy. Introverts feel our best through a different neurotransmitter called acetylcholine that I say works more like herbal tea. It's what calms us down. It's released when we do things like turn inward, having meaningful conversation with one person, get to fully focus on a project we're passionate about. So because of that, happiness for introverts feels more like calm and contentment. So that difference, calm and contentment for introverts, enthusiasm, excitement for extroverts, is especially important to understand in relationships, because you often have introvert-extrovert marriages or work partnerships where there are different happiness styles. So it can be helpful to just ask the people in your life, what does happiness actually feel like to you? And let that determine some of the strategy about how you spend your time together.
So for the introvert then, who wants to feel happier, what's the takeaway there?
That we do not need a packed full calendar or schedule or to have a large quantity of people in our life. That we need room to breathe. We need a few deep relationships. We need work that we are passionate about and believe is meaningful. Just noticing the moments in your life when you feel calm and content and resisting the pressure to do, be, have more, just because culture tells us that's what it takes for happiness.
And good for the extrovert that you might happen to be married to understand that about you, of course, as well. Another area that you turn on its head, and let's get into this, and then we'll have to bring this in for a landing, is sensitivity. I thought that was also a very interesting part of the book. Introverts are sometimes accused, right, of being too sensitive. Discuss sensitivity, like the good and the bad, and also the dangers of ignored sensitivity, as you call it in the book.
So when we say sensitivity, we're really talking about perception or the ability to be observant. And introverts have nervous systems that work like nets with small holes. So we catch everything going on around us. We're often the first to notice when a friend's hurting, or a detail is often that spreadsheet, to depending on our area of work and what's going on in our personal life. But often we have one area of especially high sensitivity or perception. Like for me, it would be words. That's why I'm a writer. Psychologist, it would be emotions. For an accountant, it would be numbers. So all of us, introvert and extrovert, can ask, what's an area of my life where I seem to notice what others miss? When am I ask advice that I feel like I should say, oh, that's easy, anyone can do it? And where do I contribute most to others? And that's often an area of high sensitivity, especially for introverts.
You point out in the book that when somebody says you're sensitive, in some senses, they're giving you a compliment, although we often don't take it that way, right?
Yes. It's actually saying you have a zone of brilliance and belonging where you can contribute to the world. Like athletes that we admire their skill, many of them, that is their zone of sensitivity. So really redefining that word and using it instead as a way to look for the gifts that we have to offer.
I'd love for you to close, Holly, with a final thought for both the introvert listening and then also the extrovert listening. What would you want to say to each of those groups of people?
I would say to all of us that we serve the world best when we are who we're created to be. So whatever that is, embrace it. And that takes courage. And then let's ask each other one question. How can I love you well right now? I think our world needs that more than ever before. And it's easy to assume we're all alike, but the world is actually better off when we're different because we're better together.
So true. Well, as I told you off the air, love the book, couldn't put it down. Really, really interesting read. Again, the book we've been talking about is called The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. Holly Girth, our guest this week for the Wednesday Bookmark. Thanks for your time this morning, Holly.
Thank you.
The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. To find out more about this week's bookmark or hear the author interview again, or to discover previous books highlighted on the Wednesday Bookmark, go to chri.ca.